Welcome in, college fantasy football friends. You are listening to the CFF Site's Week 3 show. My name is Joe DeSalvo, the voice of the CFF Site, and we're going to get to a number of things this week. We are going to cover all of the games coming up for this week, maybe talk a little bit of some of my observations that I made last week and offer some predictions on the upcoming week, both the games and for fantasy purposes. A lot to talk about. Week 2, Week 3 is a pivotal point of the season for a lot of you guys, because we're getting to a situation where, do you want to jump ship on some guys that you drafted? Are you ready to move on? Are you ready to hit the guys off the waiver wire? Some guys that you drafted, you were quick to drop early. All of a sudden, now they're re-emerging. All kind of scenarios play out over the first 2 to 4 weeks of the season. Really important right now. The waiver wire usually wins the season, but you have to be careful on not doing too much, because then you take a chance on dumping a player that you had put a lot of research into, had a lot of value in, draft a stock, and then you get rid of them too soon, and then one man's trash turns into another man's treasure, and that's the way it happens sometimes. We're going to talk about the 4-1 league as well, get into that. The bracket is updated. We're down to the Sweet 16. We're going to get into who's doing well on that. I'm also going to talk a little bit. I know I sent out an email earlier today about the continuous login loop for some of you all that you're experiencing. I have a couple of fixes that I'm going to offer you suggestions, some feedback after I sent out an email today. If you want to catch that, I'm going to go ahead and do that last, so it's easy for you to just forward through the entire podcast or video and get to that, get to the last couple of minutes, and I'll go ahead and touch on that as well. And then, that's it. We're going to get into just sort of talking about week 3. What are my observations? What are my thoughts? The first thing that I'm going to do and talk about is, you guys have a lot of requests for me, for Mike, throughout the season, through the preseason, things that you'd like to see, things that you'd like to see us offer as the site as well. And then that works twofold. So here's a chance for myself and Mike as well to kind of have some asks of you guys as well. Mike and I are easily accessible through the DM in Discord, which if you're not in and you have the ability to get in, you have an old expired link, let me know. I'll look it up. Your account, we'll get that link over to you. Tons of information on the Discord. The Discord is on fire, particularly on game day. And I think you'll find a lot of information, get a lot of information and find it very useful and a very useful resource for you for the season as the 2021 season unfolds. But the one thing that I'm going to ask you guys to do, particularly this year, I usually ask it every year, and I know you know what's coming, is that I get my emails, I'll get my DMs flooded on Tuesday, Wednesday, asking me about start sits, who's going to be the better guy to start this week. And the only request that I have for you guys is, if I don't get to you right away, to have a little patience and wait for me to get back to you. And if I'm going to make a second request, hold off some of those questions until you see the rankings and the projections go up on the site, because it's really hard for me, and I know it's hard for Mike as well. While he's doing a lot of his research early in the week, I'm doing research earlier in the week. We're looking to see how we're going to rank these guys, how the projections are going to play out, how Mike's going to write them up in his DFS content. And we can give you a better idea of what we feel head-to-head based player A versus player B as you wait a little bit later into the week. But with that being said, the other thing that I'll ask you guys is, don't wait to the 11th hour to send me your questions. And I'll use this as an example. But this past weekend, my email and my DMs were flooded Saturday morning within 60 minutes of kickoff. I think I got to all of them, but it's really hard for me to give you guys a well thought out and put some context behind my answers. You guys are very good at giving me great context in your emails, the league type, the scoring system, and I just don't like responding with a one-sentence, five-word answer. You put in the time to write out the questions. I want to be able to give you a well-thought-out answer and my reasoning behind it, which I think where the value of having a second opinion comes in is the why, as opposed to just player A or player B. Don't get those in too late. The earlier you get them into me, and the best time to give me questions are between Wednesday evening and Friday evening, because then I've got time to get to them. I've got time to digest the rankings. I've got time to dig into the projections and really see how things settle and give you a well thought out answer when I'm comparing these players. And I probably speak for Mike as well. There's some things early in the week. I know when it comes to waiver wire advice, go ahead and get those in. But when it comes to getting players in your rosters, comparing, you know, picking out 3 out of 4, wait a little bit till the end of the week, wait for the projections, wait for the rankings to hit, then get into the questions and discussions, because most of the time, the rankings and projections usually iron out 75% of the questions that you guys send in. And then there's somewhere, there's just some players that are really close in the ranking. So that would be our ask of you guys, is get those questions in. The start bench, the roster questions are better held off for the second half of the week, but don't get them in too late. It's really hard sometimes to get to every, with all the content Mike's turning out with DFS Saturday morning, we're trying to keep an eye on the injury news. We've got questions coming in, DMs coming in, and we want to be able to get to all of you guys. We're trying to accommodate everybody, but if we do not get to you, just know that Saturday mornings are incredibly difficult to get to each and every email, each and every message, if you wait up until that last hour before kickoff to get your questions in. So think of them over Wednesday, think of them over throughout Thursday, get them in before the weekend hits. We'll be able to give you a really well thought out answer with the reasoning behind why we feel certain ways about certain players compared to other players. So with that being said, let's go ahead and slap asses a little bit and kind of give you guys props on the 4-1 league. Let me go ahead and get this pulled up, because right now we are in, we're into the Sweet 16 of the two halves tournament. We're in the Sweet 16 of the first half tournament. We've got AP Sooner playing Barker 04. We've got Deweese Bugs playing EA Francis 10. Franchise KF against Haynes 76. Husker Ford Niners against Jamuna 23. Jay Stubbe 13 playing Luke Staley, and then new boss PTM 19 has a matchup. Sam from ADX plays Swamp Fever. The Jackson 4 plays Wizzy Will. That is your Sweet 16 matchups, but let's get to the overall standings. First of all, let's see how you guys did and how the teams fared in the week 2 period. So the best week went to Eric Paulin, posted 468 points, which was almost 28, maybe 29 points better than the second best roster build last week, which was Newbost. The Jackson 4 came in third last week, followed by Dirty Lou and EA Francis. That was your top 5 roster builders in the week 2. Now, for the season, remember, this is the standings that make up the total points league. We're going to play out every week, see who has the highest score at the end of the season. Top 2 wins this overall points league after 2 weeks. The Jackson 4 tops the list. He's winning by 0.08 of a point over AP Sooner right now, who sits in second. That's only 3 points better than Wizzy Will. And you got PTM 19 and EA Francis 10 rounding out the top 5. Those are your top 5 right now. So I've called out the Sweet 16 in the first halves tournament. We've got the top 5 right now in the overall points. And remember, the next couple of weeks are important, because you're actually trying to find a spot. Top 80 are going to qualify for that eliminator. Top 80 are going to qualify for the head-to-head tournament. That's going to be coming up. One of those, the qualifications end after this week. The other one, the qualifications end after week 4. I think the head-to-head tournament qualification might be after 3. The eliminator tournament might be qualified after week 4. Anyway, I know the details are up on the site. I'll make sure that those continue to stay up, and I'll make sure that the links are updated. And on the homepage of the site, you should see the links. They're down at the bottom right. The bracket should be posted, and then all of you all in the league should be able to see the overall standing. So that's going to do it for the 4-1 league. And then from there, man, let's just get right into the week 3 slate. Obviously, there's a lot of games going on right now, a lot of non-conference matchups all the way throughout week four. There's going to be a number of games on the slate every week. Once we get into week four, week five, that's when we start getting into the heart of conference play. And that's when we're going to see some of those easy matchups, FBS versus FCS. They're going to be clear of the schedule, and we're going to really get into that's when streaming defenses becomes a little bit tougher. Right now, it's easy to stream defenses. It's never easier to stream defenses after your drafts if you're punting on defense special teams than through the first 4 weeks of the season. Once we get into conference play, that's usually where some of the guys that drafted the better defenses throughout the throughout their fantasy drafts tend to have a little bit of an edge. But the edge in the beginning of the year, the first quarter of the fantasy season, is usually goes to the guys that stream the defenses because they can find those cupcake mismatches on the schedule. And so we're going to find some of those as we go. But let's get into it. We've got one game this week, Ohio at Louisiana Lafayette. The Raging Cajuns really need to get the running game going. Let's see if Chris Smith and those guys can really get the run game going for UL Lafayette. And I don't think it's any better right now on the Ohio side for Demontre Tuggle. They had a joke, Demontre Tuggle was a guy that Mike liked early in the year. And I said that maybe we're a couple of weeks away from naming him Demontre Struggle. Let's see how it carries out with O'Shawn Allison there in the backfield with Demontre Tuggle. Let's see if they can go down to UL Lafayette and get that run game going as well. Two teams that really need to establish run. We're going to see who comes out on top. Maybe one team turns a corner and offers some good value as we get into the middle of the season. Central Florida playing at Louisville. Was there any better of a waiver wire find after the first week of the season for some of you guys than Isaiah Bowser? I know he wasn't drafted in every league, and he was a big topic of discussion for many emails that have come in since the beginning of the year. And for a lot of you guys that were able to claim him off the waiver wire, great pickup there. Looks like he's going to be a great fantasy asset all season as long as he stays healthy. Maryland playing at Illinois. The one thing that really jumps out at me for Maryland right now, and I know that they're coming off of a win against Howard. They opened up the year with a win against West Virginia, but how good right now fantasy assets does Dante Demas and Rakeem Jarrett look right now? I think they've both gone over 100 yards in both games so far this year. And I made a statement prediction before the season started. I thought Dante Demas was a better fantasy pick than Rakeem Jarrett. Right now, they're running neck and neck, and they're both paying dividends right now for their fantasy owners. So, a lot to like from those Maryland receivers right now. Michigan State going down to play Miami. I mentioned that De'Ara King looks healthy, looks confident. I still don't love that Miami offense right now. Michigan State much improved, particularly with Kenneth Walker III. Let's see if he can kind of get things going back again after sort of a ho-hum week two down there in Miami. See how that game plays out. Western Michigan going to Pitt. Here's something. I don't know if I touched on this in my notes and observations, but I am a little worried about Caleb Ellerby and that Western Michigan pass game. Had high hopes for them before the season started. Now, if you have Ladarius Jefferson right now, Sean Tyler, I think you're okay right now. But you're looking at Western Michigan. They play at Pitt. They get San Jose State at home. It's not a particularly hard matchup. Then they go to Buffalo. They get Ball State. They play Kent. They play at Toledo. They don't really play many cupcakes of the MAC this year until they get to the end of the season when they get Akron, Eastern Michigan, and Northern Illinois. Curious to see if Ellaby in that passing game really can turn a corner. I thought that Ellaby would be a little bit more proficient than he has been up until this point. Let's see if they can get things going against Pitt. Albany at home against Syracuse. I personally feel that it's only a matter of time before we see Garrett Schrader, but we, don't know yet. I think Syracuse is going to be fine. DeVito will be fine here. Should have a big game for Sean Tucker. I wouldn't be afraid to start Taj Harris as well in this matchup. Boston College playing at Temple. Phil Jurkovec is gone, possibly for the season. Let's see if Grosso can kind of pick up, and let's see if that really affects the fantasy value of one Zay Flowers, who I think will still be a pretty good fantasy pick moving forward, even in the absence of Jurkovec. Virginia Tech playing at West Virginia. I really like Letty Brown at the onset of the season. I still like Letty Brown, and I do think we could see some signs of 2020 come back here for the Mountaineers, where there's going to be some situations where Letty Brown's going to be able to find the end zone, but we're not going to see a ton of yards from him. That could be what happens in a game like this in a matchup against Virginia Tech. Missouri playing at home against Southeast Missouri State. Question is, how long and how much does or do we see Tyler Beatty before Elijah Young gets in there? Can the Tigers break out to an early lead? And if so, will Beatty be the one that kind of puts them out front? Nebraska playing at Oklahoma. I am not terribly sold on Spencer Rattler as a pro prospect, but I do think as a fantasy prospect, as a matter of fact, I'll speak for both quarterbacks in this matchup because Adrian Martinez has done enough. I think I touched on this last week as well. He and KJ Jefferson remind me sort of a clone of one another. They don't look great throwing the ball, but they're getting fantasy numbers. And so it doesn't really matter how good they look as long as they're giving you production. And I'm wondering how much production we get out of Adrian Martinez in this matchup. I think he's got to do something with his legs, as usually is the case, if he's going to give you something in this matchup. And Oklahoma is going to obviously spread it around. I'm starting to feel that Kennedy Brooks might be a better fantasy option than Eric Gray right now. Still on the fence with Eric Gray. And I can't blame any of you all who are getting impatient and ready to jump ship, particularly in full FBS leagues. Cincinnati playing at Indiana. This is a tough matchup for me, I think, to really handicap. Curious to see how this one plays out. And if Desmond Ridder, Jerome Ford can be the 1-2 punch to get the Bearcats over Indiana on the road. And I just don't see a lot out of that Indiana offense right now. They've got Freifogel at receiver. I like him this week, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Penix. I don't know if it's maybe just one too many injuries, but I'm not feeling that Indiana offense right now. Northern Illinois playing at Michigan. Blake Corum, what a find he's turning out to be. Great match against Northern Illinois this week. And if you've got Northern Illinois running back, Harrison Whaley, what a find you've gotten. I didn't think he'd be able to post 179 yards against Wyoming. He did. He's gone over 140 in two consecutive games. And you've got to feel, like I said last week, really good if you've got Whaley going into MAC play. Kentucky playing at home against Chattanooga. Can Chris Rodriguez, can Wandale Robinson get their numbers before they exit that game? Tennessee playing at home against Tennessee Tech. Same thing here. How efficient will the Tennessee offense look with possibly Hendon Hooker there leading the way on offense? Will they keep, will Heupel keep Hooker in a little bit longer than maybe he traditionally would have because now he's trying to get an extended look at him? I think that's really a good sign if you have Hooker. I think you've got to start him this week, even though that's an easy matchup, because Heupel has to get a quarterback going in that offense. And this is a get right matchup for the Volunteers. Texas A&M playing at home against New Mexico. I believe Terry Wilson, quarterback, New Mexico, started the season two straight games with three touchdowns apiece. But I just don't know about that A&M offense now with Zach Calzada leading the way. I like the A&M run game this week with Ashane and Spiller, but I have my concerns about the passing game moving forward. I don't think they're the number 7 ranked team in the country, and I think early preseason rankings are great. But if you're watching these games right now, there's nobody that possibly can think that A&M's the 7th best team in the country. And I don't care. I'm not with the old school thinking. Just because they're preseason ranked 6, 7, or 8 and they win a game doesn't mean that they have to stay in there. That's old school thinking. We need to rethink. And look, there's a lot of people like, they shouldn't release the top 25 for the first month or two of the season. We should see the teams play. No, I'm good with the top 25. It's just people need to use their damn heads and watch these games and see what these teams are about instead of just keeping them in the top 10 because they started the year there and they won a game. Let's go watch some football, folks, and then do your poll. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they should have people like us that play college fantasy football that watch and track these games all week and have us contribute to a top 25 instead of the guys that just look at the score lines. I don't know. That just frustrates me. Connecticut on the road playing at Army. I said this in my notes and observations. I'm going to be surprised if Connecticut scores more than 5 touchdowns against FBS opponents this year. I'll just be shocked, and I'll be shocked if they find the end zone against Army. They are, in my opinion, the worst team in the FBS. Coastal Carolina playing on the road at Buffalo. Interesting matchup here. I do like Kevin Marks in this matchup. I love that Coastal Carolina offense. Grayson McCall not putting up the numbers early on that I thought he would. Maybe this matchup is a breakout matchup for him. I love Helai, the wide receiver. I think he's one of the best fantasy receivers in the country, and he is definitely the go-to receiver. They almost look for him exclusively. But Javon Helai, I think we might have him. I think he might be in the top 15, top 12, maybe even top 10 this week for receivers at Coastal Carolina. Minnesota playing on the road at Colorado. Potts with a heavy workload last week, much like Isaiah Bowser. If you were able to get Potts off the waiver wire, really heartbreak city for everyone that had Ibrahim. But everyone that got Potts off the waiver wire, certainly rejoicing. I hope for many of you guys, it was some of you all that lost Ibrahim and were able to replace him. I know over at Colorado, there was a situation with Jarek Broussard. I think he limped off the field last week. I think reports indicate he is practicing this week. So hopefully he sees an increased load at home against Minnesota in this matchup. Nevada playing on the road at Kansas State. I'm really close to admitting I was wrong about Deuce Vaughn replicating his 2020 production. I think this is going to be another big game for him. And I think, and for as good as I think Deuce Vaughn is, I think he's the only thing that Kansas State has on offense. And I do think Nevada's got a real shot to go into Manhattan and win this game with all the weapons that they have on offense. Purdue playing on the road at Notre Dame. You know, I don't know if there's no matchup that's a bad matchup for David Bell. Notre Dame, another one of those teams, ranked 12 in the country, barely beat Florida State, eked out a win against Toledo. I don't think they're the number 12 team in the country. Look at Florida State, the team that they beat just lost to an FCS opponent. I hate to play that, do those type of comparisons, but nothing impressive for me for Notre Dame right now. However, you know, if you have tight end Michael Mayer, you've got to be feeling really good right now. He's posting some serious wide receiver numbers as a tight end. Georgia Tech playing on the road at Clemson. I think this is a get-right game for Clemson and quarterback DJU. I think this could be, and I'm going to make a prediction here, I think this could be a big game for Kobe Pace. I think this might be the game where we see him. I know he and Shipley right now are sort of splitting. I think they're co-starters right now. I have a feeling that maybe Pace could post some pretty good numbers in this matchup this week. And I expressed my concerns about Jahmyr Gibbs at the start of the season. I know that there were some concerns about Jahmyr Gibbs. I thought he was being valued a little too much in preseason drafts. And that could be the case. I have a real concern with Jahmyr Gibbs. They're not getting any quarterback play. And I don't even know. Maybe Yates is the answer. Maybe it's not Sims. Maybe we were all wrong on Sims as well. But I'm not a big fan of I'm a big fan of Jahmyr Gibbs. But as far as his fantasy production, I know I mentioned a lot in the preseason. I was concerned about that. I just didn't think Georgia Tech would score enough this year and he would find the end zone enough. But I love his talent. I think he'll be playing in the NFL. Florida State playing on the road at Wake Forest. You know, after watching that game against Notre Dame, I felt good about Florida State, and then they lose last week. And, you know, I think McKenzie Milton is a feel-good story, but I'm just not feeling McKenzie Milton right now. I'm not feeling the quarterback position at Florida State. I think this is a game Wake Forest can win. I do think it will be tight. You've got to like what Jashaun Corbin's given you so far, Christian Beal-Smith as well over at Wake Forest. And so I think this has potential to be a close matchup, and I think that's good if you have Ja'Quarri Roberson at receiver for Wake Forest. Rutgers playing at home against Delaware. I think Bo Melton, you go ahead and get him
in your roster this week. The only thing that I'll warn many of you guys is that if you have running back Isaiah Pacheco, you've got to really be careful with kind of with Kyle Monangai. I think that's how you say his name. Guy's got 3 rushing touchdowns, only 16 rushing attempts. He's vulturing the touchdowns away, and I don't think Pacheco is a play. So I'd stay away, and I'd even move off of him if you have him on your roster. Over at Baylor, right now the most impressive thing at Baylor right now has to be running back Abram Smith. He's gone over 118 yards in and 2 touchdowns in each of the matchups so far this year. Texas Southern, Texas State, and then they get a sweet matchup against Kansas before the schedule turns a little bit. So you've got to like that matchup right there. Kent State playing on the road at Iowa, another non-conference tough game for Kent State. Remember, they played at Texas A&M the first week. I think you're going to be sitting on your Kent State assets this week, particularly Dustin Crum. And I think you go ahead and get Tyler Goodson in the lineup. Ohio State playing at home against Tulsa. Emails coming in. Do I play Ohio State players? You know, will they play the entire game this week? Look, I think they're going to play longer than you think against Tulsa. Tulsa isn't exactly Southeast Missouri State. And I think Ohio State, you can have some big numbers here. I think the question for me becomes, you know, Henderson, will we just see him totally at some point? Will we see him just totally take over as that running back one? That's the one thing that I'm really looking for out of this matchup. SMU playing on the road at Louisiana Tech. I'd like to see how the carries shake out. I know over at SMU that there's a lot of concern for some of you guys with the emails coming in about Ulysses Bentley. And it was really strange because even though he only had 10 rushing attempts last week, he threw up 141 yards, had a touchdown receive and touchdown rushing, and there's still many of you concerned about him even after totaling 160 yards last week. He's definitely a hold, and in my opinion, he's definitely a play on the road this week at Louisiana Tech. Akron playing at home against Bryant, and here's something that I'll throw you guys. One of my sleepers of the weekend might be receiver Michael Matheson of Akron. He's caught at least 7 passes for at least 68 yards. He's got a total of 15 catches for 169 yards in 2 games against Auburn on the road and against Temple. They play Bryant this week. You're looking for a sneaky play at receiver, maybe in the 4-1 league. Matheson is your man at Akron this week playing against Bryant. Looking for a sneaky defense to stream a defense has to be Miami of Ohio this week. They're playing CW Post, Long Island University. I don't know what you call them. Every app you look on, it's different. But Miami of Ohio, still, let's see. So Long Island has played Florida International in the opener. They lose 48-10 after going down 35-0 in the second quarter. They lose to West Virginia last week, 66-0. They play on the road at Miami of Ohio this week. That's a sneaky defense play for you guys looking to stream defenses. Idaho playing on the road at Oregon State. B.J. Baylor emerged as running back one last week for Hawaii. I think he's going to have another big game this week. Some waiver wire questions coming in this week. I offered B.J. Baylor as a great 1-week, 2-week look. But long-term potential, there were some other names that came in. That's how you have to look at some of these moves sometimes. Is it a short-term play for you? Is it to build roster depth? You know, if your roster looks okay, and I'm going to throw a name out there, right? I would rather have Micah Bernard for Utah right now, who may have, who's got the potential to emerge as the running back one at Utah, particularly after what we saw last week. Then take a chance on B.J. Baylor for just using him 1 week. Give me the guy with the high upside, high ceiling, long-term over the 1 week punt all day, every day. USC playing on the road at Washington State. USC moving on from Helton. Let's see how that translates into play on the field. I expect the Trojans to come out pretty fired up this week. I don't think that's going to be good news for Washington State. The good news for the Cougars is they are at home this week, and that should at least make it interesting. Alabama playing on the road at Florida. Okay, let me get into this right now. I was going to save this one for the end, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about Emory Jones. I've done some shows this year. A lot of questions come my way because I drafted Emory Jones, I think, in every draft that I participated in this year. Here's my thought on this. The 5 drafts in which I have Emory Jones, I also drafted
Anthony Richardson. So I handcuffed him in 3 of 5 because all the drafts that I did this year are all best ball drafts, right? And that's the smart way of doing it. That's the way you have to do it. I'm actually kicking myself in the ass because I didn't get Anthony Richardson in 5 of 5 leagues. So, but in 3 of 5 leagues, I still handcuffed Emory Jones with Anthony Richardson. Here's my thought. I think we may see Emory Jones out there taking the first snap for Florida, but I think that may be the end of Emory Jones as we know it. If he doesn't lead the Gators to a score within the first drive of the game, my prediction is that this is the game Anthony Richardson takes over as the starter for the Florida Gators for the rest of his career. I think he's the quarterback one. Look, just because I have Emory Jones, I'm not going to sit here and defend him. Anthony Richardson needs to be the quarterback for Florida. If they have any shot to beat Alabama, he has to be the quarterback. If Emory Jones is the quarterback for the game against Alabama, they're going to lose 42-14. Richardson's got to play, and I think Richardson's going to be the starter. And I've gotten a lot of emails this week coming in. How do you prioritize these guys? And Anthony Richardson's been in a lot of those lists. And my suggestion to you right now, if you're listening to this, if Anthony Richardson is on your waiver wire, I would go get him this week because there's a chance that after this matchup against Alabama, everybody else, if he stays in there as this quarterback, is going to go after Anthony Richardson. My suggestion is if you haven't gone after him now, I would go after him because in my opinion, there's no way that Emory Jones should be the starter for the Florida Gators. It should be Anthony Richardson from this week on. We're going to see what Dan Mullen's got up his sleeve. I know the guys, look, the guy's a great play caller, and he's got a history of producing some fantasy gems at quarterback, which is why I loved Emory Jones at the start of the year. But boy, had I seen a glimpse of this of Anthony Richardson, had we had a preseason or I had seen anything like this, I wouldn't have waited 1 second to draft Anthony Richardson. He probably would have been a top 5 quarterback. And I wouldn't be surprised if Richardson keeps playing the way that he's played in what he showed so far. You're looking easily a top 10 quarterback next year. But I think he takes over the show. That's a lot of bold statements that I've made, including kind of chewing and spitting out my Emory Jones. But, hey, we got to call shots as how we see it. Not, you know, I'm here to give you guys observations. And I watched just about every snap Emory Jones took last week. And I'm telling you that Anthony Richardson, I don't care who trots out there is taking the first snap. He's the best quarterback on the roster. He should be starting, and I think he will be the starter, if not this week, but the week after. There's my Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson conversation for you. Appalachian State playing home against Elon should be a cupcake matchup right there. Same, I could say the same for Eastern Michigan. Is this a get-right game for Preston Hutchinson and the Eastern Michigan Eagles? He really could use a strong performance, had him ranked high in the preseason, got banged up in that first game. Let's see how he comes back with an easy matchup against the Minutemen. Northwestern playing at Duke. I think it's going to be a battle of the running backs here, Durant versus Evan Hull. And I think if you have either of those two guys, you roll with them. Colorado State playing on the road at Toledo. David Bailey, get him in. Another win. Trey McBride, tight end, rivaling Michael Mayer right now, is one of the top tight ends in the country. Get him in. And Brian Kobach, that guy scores every week. He is a must start no matter who they play. Sacramento State playing at Cal. Cal running back Damian Moore was a guy that I took in one of my DFS lineups last week. 71 yards, 2 touchdowns on the road against TCU. I think he's a good pick and a good option for your waiver additions. They get a nice matchup this week against Sacramento State, but let's see how long he stays in there. Let's see if Sacramento State can keep it competitive. And if so, that's good signs if you can get him off the waiver wire this week. Arkansas playing at home against Georgia Southern. I know a lot of you guys looking to move on from wide receiver Burks. I'd say be patient. This might be a matchup where you see a little bit of a breakout from him. And really, that's what you're looking for. Sometimes it only takes one game, one breakout game for these players to get going. Maybe this is it for Burks. Maybe this is it for the hookup of Jefferson and Burks. Maybe this is the game that puts him over the hump and takes you guys to a place where you thought or Burks gives you what you were hoping he would give you at the beginning of the season. So Burks is a must start, in my opinion, and a hold right now on your roster.
Ball State playing on the road at Wyoming. Xavier Valade, running back Wyoming, a must start. Justin Hall, wide receiver Ball State, a must start. Johannes Tyler right now, a disappointment. He's a guy right now that I would say, if you haven't moved on from him right now, maybe you're being patient waiting for Mac play. And I can certainly suggest that if you've got a deep roster, I certainly recommend that. If you're getting, remember where you stand in your league right now will dictate how aggressive you need to be and how conservative you need to be on the waiver wire. If you've gotten through 2 weeks, 2-0, and you've got a guy like Johannes Tyler on your bench because you've got a deep roster, well, then you're good. You can wait. But if you're 0-2, all of a sudden now you're impatient. You need to play for this week. You need to take a chance on a Matheson from Akron, a BJ Baylor from Oregon State. So how you stand in your leagues determines whether or not you need to be aggressive now, or you could play it out long-term and maybe take a chance and stash up an Anthony Richardson right now and hope that he becomes the starter. So hope that insight helps when it comes to being aggressive versus conservative based on where you're at in the league and the standings in your league when it comes to making these waiver acquisitions. Mississippi State playing on the road at Memphis. I think obviously, Mississippi State receiver is just tough. It's really hard. Sometimes you're playing a little bit of roulette at receiver with Mississippi State. And I get that even in the backfield last week with Johnson, having the better numbers, I think. Last week, and I had some information in front of me. That's why I'm kind of stalling on you guys a little bit because I had some insight on this with Marks and Johnson, right? I mean, Johnson had as many carries as Marks, and then he had 6 catches. Marks had 7 the week before. Marks was heads and tails way above Johnson. So, you know, that kind of throws you for a loop when you see that. And then all of a sudden on the flip side of it, you've got a receiver like Calvin Austin, who's just one of the best fantasy receivers in the country. And I think even a matchup against Mississippi State, you've got to get him in. And he's a must start this week. And I think he's a top 10 receiver that we have on the site. But that game against Memphis last week was a matchup against Arkansas State. And guess what? This week, Arkansas State plays against Washington. So, you know, what happens now with that Arkansas State offense at quarterback? Remember, they started James Blackman. They turned to Lane Hatcher in the middle of game one. Lane Hatcher went off. They started Lane Hatcher this past week against Memphis. Exit Lane Hatcher, enter James Blackman. He went off and threw for 4 touchdowns. And so now it's anybody's guess of what goes on. And here's a suggestion if you stream defenses. Washington has been very unimpressive and, in my opinion, has the worst offense of any Power 5 team in the country. It's vanilla. It's very off tackle, off guard. I don't like their offense. I'll be really surprised if the offensive coordinator makes it halfway through the year at Washington. I just think that offense, this schematically, it's just terrible. It's just not, it's so old school. It doesn't belong in college football 2021. But my point is that if you're looking to stream defenses and you've got a lot of weight on turnovers and sacks, Washington's a team you might want to take a look at this week because Arkansas State, yes, they might score some points, but they're going to fling it around and they're going to throw it to the other team a few times and they're going to get sacked a few times because they're going to drop back a lot and throw it often. And so if your league is just not heavy on points allowed, I think you take a shot with a defense like Washington, who could rack up a number of sacks and turnovers this weekend, even though they've looked incredibly bad. Their defense might be a sneaky play this week at home against Arkansas State. Bowling Green playing home against Murray State. Not much to really offer there for Bowling Green. If I'm going to give you one name, and here's one that I had for you with Bowling Green, or at least I thought I had a name for you. Here you go. For Austin Osborne, right? Wide receiver, he's caught 15 passes in 2 games. I would only recommend this guy in full point PPR formats because he's got 15 catches for 84 yards. He's only averaging, I think, like 5.5 yards per catch, no touchdowns. But in a full point PPR deep league, he might be a player that you're looking at possibly get 7 or 8 catches this weekend. East Carolina playing on the road at Marshall. Marshall, beginning of the year, I've said this, and I said it again last week, one of my sneaky offenses, Corey Gamage at receiver, Talik Keaton at receiver. And I think right now you have to be absolutely love Rasheen Ali. I know Mike was kind of talking to me about Ali earlier in the preseason. I don't know how much investment he made in Ali, but it was a guy that he said was getting talked up quite a bit. So it was nice to see a lot of what he found out come to fruition early on in the season. And Ali sitting after his 4-point performance against Navy in the opener, he totaled what, 92 yards and another touchdown last week in against North Carolina Central, and should get a lot more work this week when Marshall hosts East Carolina. Old Dominion playing on the road at Liberty. Let's see what Old Dominion can do to hang with Liberty. And for a lot of you guys out there that have Malik Willis, that's exactly what you want. Maybe a couple of scores from the Monarchs, to keep Liberty offense on the field and keep those numbers up for Malik Willis. Excuse me. Fordham playing on the road at Florida Atlantic. I think this is going to be one of the better defensive plays as well of the week. I think Florida Atlantic can hold their own on offense. I do think for some of you guys, particularly in the 4-1 league, that's looking for a quarterback play, I think someone like Nikosi Perry could be a sneaky play for you this week. Nikosi Perry, threw a touchdown against Florida, threw for 261 yards against the Gators defense, threw for 332 last week against Georgia Southern, 4 touchdowns, and maybe he can get it done for you this week. Is there another sneaky play on there? I was looking at maybe somebody like John Mitchell, who's caught 4 passes for at least 50 yards the last couple of weeks, might be one of a receiver that you want to pair him up with. But I think Nikosi Perry could be a sneaky play for you guys in the 4-1 league this week, or for you guys looking for a 1-week punt. UTSA playing at home against Middle Tennessee State. I like the Roadrunners. I like the Roadrunners easily in this matchup. Sincere McCormick, one of the top running backs this week. South Carolina playing on the road at Georgia. I don't care what part of the South Carolina run game you have. Get rid of everything South Carolina. Georgia's defense is just too good. The best defense in the country right now. I'd like to see those guys stay healthy, because I'm telling you, they look absolutely crazy. I just don't know what in the hell's going on with the Georgia offense, because you get news that JT Daniels is going to be out last week. Stetson Bennett's going to get the start after I thought it was going to be Carson Beck. You would think that Georgia would be ground and pound against UAB. They won 56-7, and I believe 7 of their 8 touchdowns were through the air. Is that right? Let me confirm that. 6 of their 7 touchdowns were through the air. That one threw me for a loop. Houston at home playing Grambling. Let's see if Clayton Toon can get things going, hook up with Nathaniel Dell. That might be an option for you in the 4-1 league to get a hookup going right there. Texas Tech, are we going to see Sir Roderick Thompson? I know for many of you guys that have Taj Brooks, you're hoping not to. You're hoping that Taj Brooks can kind of carry the get all the carries there in that matchup, favorable matchup for Texas Tech as they host FIU this weekend. And, of course, Erica Zukama, one of the top receivers for the week for us this week in my rankings and projections. Utah playing on the road at San Diego State. Really tough matchup right here if you have Greg Bell. Very unfortunate getting against that Utah defense. But if you have right now Micah Bernard, that's a player you're looking at right now. It's a player that Mike and I spoke about in the preseason. We got news that Tavion Thomas was coming on strong in preseason camp. It looked like Tavion Thomas kind of got the tip as kind of being the first running back out. Looked like he was going to get first dibs on that running back spot. Micah Bernard's making the best of his opportunities right now. Look, there's nothing that says that he's cemented into that running back one role yet, but he had 12 carries for 146 against BYU, added 4 catches for 18 yards. And I can't think that there's nothing not to like about Micah Bernard. Remember, he was getting rave reviews over the summer saying that he could do it all. He's got speed. He's got power. You can catch out of the backfield. Really, that's what that offense needs, a running back like that. Because until a running back one, a true RB1 emerges out of that offense is just sort of going to be ho-hum. They need a running back one, a strong running back one to emerge. If that happens to be Micah Bernard, and the glimpse of what we got last week, if he's anything like that moving forward, then Utah may have found their guy. So it'll be interesting to watch that. I still think you're okay with Greg Bell. San Diego State's going to be at home. I still think 100 yards and a touchdown is doable on the ground for Bell. Troy playing on the road against Southern Miss. Southern Miss got back Jason Brownlee last week. It should be a nice game for Gore. Troy suffered that loss against Liberty last week. But I think, B.J. Smith, Kamani Vidal, two decent options against Southern Miss. I'm a little nervous with that Troy offense right now. But I do like Gore in the backfield for Southern Miss, and I do think he's to play this week. Incarnate Word playing on the road at Texas State. Not a game for Texas State defense, in my opinion. I do think Incarnate Word's going to score some offenses. I had a chance to watch them in the spring. They've got a pretty decent offense. I think they have a good quarterback. And I think this is good, particularly if you have Marcel Barbie. You want Incarnate Word to score some points, and you want Barbie to in there to kind of get back on the scoring track, give you 100 yards and a touchdown. And I think that's very doable for Marcel Barbie this week. South Florida playing at home against Florida A&M. Could this be a sneaky weekend for a defense such as South Florida that plays Florida A&M? I'm not particularly impressed with South Florida at all, but do keep in mind, they played at NC State and Florida the first two games. They're taking a big step down in competition that will only favor the Bulls. And in a tough spot, if you need a stream of defense, it's at least a decent option. Charlotte playing on the road at Georgia State. Georgia State struggling a little bit right now offensively. Doesn't look like the team they have been the last 2 years, whereas Charlotte looks like a shadow of their late season 2019 self when Chris Reynolds was really healthy at the end of the year and they made that run, I think, into their first bowl game ever. Charlotte right now, in my opinion, has the momentum. Interesting matchup because it is at Georgia State, though. Virginia playing on the road at North Carolina. This is one of the matchups that I'm really interested to watch. Sam Howell versus Brennan Armstrong. I think for me, and let me just go, if I'm going to call balls and strikes the way that I normally do, let me just say this. Right now in the preseason, in some of the best ball drafts I was in, I went ahead and picked up Caffrey Brown. I thought Caffrey Brown would replace his brother Diami as the deep threat for North Carolina. Doesn't seem to be the case. It looks like we're going to get a lot of Antoine Green and a lot of Emory Simmons. And I do think last week there was an opportunity where Brown had an opportunity to walk into an end zone. And I think he might've dropped the pass. I think I read that. I didn't see it, but I think I read that. And so if that's the case, I don't expect to see much of Caffrey Brown right now. I think they're going to ease him in, and he's going to be more of a 2022 prospect unless, and like I said this, and this could happen unless injuries happen. And those are the things that turn the tide sometimes on when a player can get into a lineup. Jelani Woods, interesting tight end for Virginia. I had him ranked one of the top preseason tight ends on my board. I had him as the number one tight end, fantasy tight end in week one. I guess Virginia said, no, we're not showing you off this week. We're going to save you last week. He was big. If he plays that way, he will certainly rival Michael Mayer and Trey McBride for being one of the top tight ends in the country. I don't think he's going to be putting up numbers on that level, but I do think that he's going to be a must start for you guys that drafted him in tight end required leagues all season long. NC State playing at home against Furman. I think it's all about I think this matchup's all about getting Ricky Person and Zonovan Knight and having them get their numbers early. Hopefully both go over 100 yards. Both can find the end zone at least once in this matchup. I do think that that's doable, and I think it could possibly happen. Auburn playing on the road at Penn State. This is a tough matchup for me because Penn State's win on the road at Wisconsin in week one really impressed me. I like Jahan Dotson, receiver this year, but I love Tank Bigsby for Auburn. But let's be honest, guys, Auburn jumps into the top 25. They enter the top 25 at number 22 after wins against Alabama State and Akron, Cupcake City. I said this earlier at the beginning of the show. We've got to be careful how we rank these teams, and it's really odd that Auburn makes the top 25 and they really haven't beaten anybody yet. And that makes me a little bit nervous. I think Penn State has a little bit of an edge in this matchup. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I think it's going to come down to the efficiency of Bo Nix and is Auburn's defense for real. We know that Penn State's defense held up against Wisconsin. But remember, for some of you all thinking about benching Tank Bigsby, Ches Malisi had a nice game again in the opener against Penn State. So I think if you have Bigsby, the Auburn's offense is going to run through him. You're going to want to get him in the lineup. Oregon playing at home against Stony Brook. Great matchup if you got the Oregon defense. Whether you have Anthony Brown, I don't know. To me, that's the questionable play. I think really what you want is you want to see C.J. Verdell and Dye get in there. You want to see them get 100 yards and a touchdown, and because they're probably not going to be playing in this game for much more than two quarters. And so I do think these guys have to hit home runs early. So it's going to be a boom or bust week if you have both of those guys. LSU playing at home against Central Michigan. I'm really interested in trying to decide whether or not Lou Nichols is a start for Central Michigan. I think I'd be willing to roll the dice with him this weekend at LSU. Remember, I'm just north of New Orleans. I can tell you we're still feeling the effects of that hurricane that hit the eastern coast of Texas. And we're expecting rain. Baton Rouge is expecting rain all the way through Sunday. That could be a matchup that sees a little bit of water. And so for you Max Johnson owners, Kayshon Booty owners, something to keep an eye on going into the weekend. And also keep an eye on Corey Kiner, the freshman running back who got some run last week. John Emery won't be there any longer. And so I think it's time, and I mentioned this earlier, it's time for the Tigers to flip the page, turn the page on the running back position and forget about some of these older guys that have been there and get Goodwin, get Kiner in there. And let's turn the offense over to the young guys over at LSU. And for some of you guys that drafted those guys, you know, in dynasty leagues, I think you're about to see dividends come soon, particularly with probably with Kiner. Utah State playing on the road at Air Force. Devin Tompkins has been unreal. Shout out to a couple of my industry influencers. I know that Kyle Francis was big on Tompkins. Great start out of the gate. I think he's going to do well here in this matchup against Air Force. I think it'll be a tough matchup for Utah State to win, but I do think Utah State will still be able to chunk it around the yard a little bit. UAB playing on the road at North Texas. It was good to see Dwayne McBride get back going last week against Georgia. Even though they lost, I thought that he looked good. Bounce back game after the two fumbles in the opener. And I think he's going to stick as the running back one, as long as he doesn't put the ball on the turf. I think he's fine. North Texas, that offense right now, still worried. I'd rather, you know, Roderick Burns, I'm good with. He and DeAndre Torrey right now are the only two that I want. Jair Shorter look like he turned a corner last week. But this offense is going to come down to quarterback play. And Jace Reuter right now, look, he's probably better than Austin Ahn, but he still has to make improvements in his game before we're ready to anoint him, the next best quarterback in that Seth Littrell offense, you know, and anoint him the second coming of Mason Fine. We've got a way to go with that. When South Carolina State playing at New Mexico State, no interest for me there. Stanford playing at Vanderbilt. I think the thing for the biggest news here in this matchup is, you know, what about does Pete cut into Austin Jones's production? Does he cut into Austin Jones's utilization? I think that that's something that we need to monitor, because that's something that could play out. Tulane playing on the road at Ole Miss. Dontaria Drummond, the real deal. After one game, it looked like he was the real deal. Another matchup broke out, had another good game in week two. Michael Pratt, preseason sleeper for me, has done nothing to disappoint. I think Tulane will score some points in this matchup. And I think if you have Pratt, this was a great matchup, much like the opener against Oklahoma. You know, Ole Miss is going to break out on top of Tulane, and Tulane's going to have to keep trying to match them on the point on the scoreboard point for point. They won't be able to do it. I don't think they will be, but Pratt will certainly have to keep trying to move the green wave up and down the field. Rice playing on the road at Texas. Big news here, Casey Thompson getting the start for Texas. Louisiana Monroe, let's see what they can do against an FCS opponent, Jackson State. There's some diamonds in the rough in this matchup right there. I just don't have a lot of confidence to roll in any of those players with a one-week punt, so it's a pass for me. South Alabama playing at home against Alcorn State. Should be good if you have Jalen Tolbert. Oklahoma State playing on the road at Boise State. Will Tate Martin come back? Jaden Bray did well in his absence last week. Do we have a wide receiver one controversy at Oklahoma State? We know it's not Brennan Presley. What about over at Boise State? What are we looking for at the running back spot? I think George Helaney is a hold right now. I think George Helaney, they need to make sure that he's 100% healthy. I didn't expect to see Helaney walk in and get 20 carries in his first game back, particularly if he's always banged up. You wouldn't do that with a guy, and I could see them easing him into this year. And even in this non-conference matchup, I think if you want Helaney completely healthy, you have to save him for your conference games that actually matter, because we know Boise State isn't playing for a national championship. And so Khalil Shakir, I like him as wide receiver one, but I don't know if George Helaney is a start this week, but I'm not ready to move off of him either. I think he's a hold. Arizona playing at home against Northern Arizona. Let's see who starts at quarterback this week. I think it's Plummer for Arizona this week, but Stanley Berryhill should have a night. It looks like he's gotten off to a nice start. If he gets the looks that he's gotten over the first two games, he'll be a nice sleeper receiver this week for Arizona. Arizona State playing on the road at BYU. Will they get Trey Yanum back at running back? The Sun Devils, and hopefully they do. This would be another run game matchup. Tyler Allgeier versus Arizona State and those running backs, Rashad White and Chip Trey Yanum, Trey Yanum, and does Jaden Daniels get in on the show as he did last week if Trey Yanum is a no-go this week? That a lot of what plays out there could be determined on who suits up for Arizona State or whether Trey Yanum suits up for Arizona State. Iowa State playing on the road at UNLV. This is an unusual matchup here, but a great matchup for Breece Hall. Iowa State needs a bounce back win. I know this isn't a Big 12 matchup, but if they have any chance, they've got to win this matchup here. And I do think that Breece Hall is going to have a big game in a bounce back game for Iowa State. Fresno State playing on the road at UCLA and I think it's going to be a really good matchup late at night. A lot of points. I know there'll be a lot of DFS guys really tuned into that one. If that one hits the slate, and, if not a lot of fantasy guys between Zach Charbonnet, Britton Brown, Jalen Cropper, Josh Kelly, right? Carrick Wheatfall, Jake Haener at quarterback, DTR, does he go off this week? A lot of fantasy options. Greg Dulcich at the tight end, you know, Kyle Phillips at receiver, Ronnie Rivers at running back. This game may feature more fantasy players than any game over the weekend. There's a lot of guys that are probably on fantasy rosters just from this one particular matchup. So I know a lot of you guys will be tuned in late on Saturday night. And then San Jose State, the classic, you know, my time, 11:30, you East Coast guys, after midnight, 12:30 a.m. kickoff, San Jose State on the road at Hawaii. You know, real quick, I watched a Hawaii-Oregon State game, and I know Cordero's getting some rushing yards. I don't know how he's getting them. It seems like every time the pocket collapses, he just retreats, and then rolls right, rolls left, and throws the ball away. He had 366 passing yards last week. He really warmed up in the second half, but it was also Oregon State. He really just doesn't impress me. Thank goodness they have Calvin Turner, because I don't know what that offense would be if they did not have Calvin Turner. Cordero really makes me nervous. And I tell you, for San Jose State, I think this is going to be a really good week for a couple of players, and I'm going to give you that. I think for San Jose State, I think this could be a really big game for Tyler Nevins. BJ Baylor came off of a big game against the Hawaii defense last week. I think Tyler Nevins could get close to 100 yards and a touchdown for the Spartans this week on the road in that late start against Hawaii. And I've also got my high, you know, we called Isaiah Hamilton in the preseason, but Charles Ross for San Jose State could be a nice find. He's caught three passes over the first two games. I like the way that he, you know, there's something about this guy that I like. He's averaging, 20 yards a catch. He had 77 yards in the first game when they basically played, played nobody. And then all of a sudden he had 47 yards against USC. They've got Derek Deese at tight end, Isaiah Hamilton at receiver, and I think Charles Ross is the other guy that some of us are going to want to look at. I know that Jermaine Braddock as well is another option, but I think there's going to be a few options for you guys if you need a late receiver, and that's going to do it for the week 3 matchup. So Look, guys, we're going on an hour. This was a long show. Wanted to get this up a little earlier for you guys. It's nice to be out in front this week. I know I shared my experience with being relocated from Hurricane Ida over the past couple of weeks. This was the first normal week for me, the first week where I was able to just sit down for Saturday and watch football all day, every day, take in a lot of the games, really observe some things that I hadn't had a chance to observe over the previous 2 weeks. Finally out in front a little bit in regards to content. The rankings and projections are ready to go. I'm going to get those up on the website tonight. It's Wednesday. I'm recording this Wednesday at 8 o'clock my time. So those will be going up later tonight. And so, you know, here's the deal. And I said that, you know, before we go, I would mention a little bit about that login loop process that's going on the website. Sent an email to you guys. I mentioned it on the show last week. You know, I don't know, we haven't quite nailed it down, but it seems like it's really certain, maybe specific browsers. Some guys are having issues with it, maybe on Google Chrome. And I think there's something to do with the way one of the plugins for the websites is interacting with one of the extensions that might be on your web browser. Because guys that are launching through an incognito window are having no problems whatsoever. There's also issues where guys are going through the login loop. They're basically closing out the window, relaunching a new window, going back, visiting the homepage, hit the login button at the top right, logging back in and having no issues that way. And then there's also a solution where some guys are just clearing the cache and cookie and they're getting in that way because there's some old page within the website that may be saved within the memory of your browser that's causing a little bit. So those are three things that we're doing right now where guys are telling me they're having a lot of success. The ones that are experiencing it, not everyone is. I mean, I'm not experiencing it. There's tons that aren't, but there are quite a few that are. And so until I get it resolved for everyone, I don't want it to be a pain in the ass for anyone. The best thing is to go ahead and just, you know, log out, relaunch a new browser, log back in, go into that browser, log in, you know, clear the cookies, the cache. And then also some of you guys are having just an easier time launching an incognito window. Tell me guys are going in with no problem whatsoever. So we're going to get it fixed. We're going to get it resolved one way or the other. But I'm going to try to keep you guys updated on this and try to nail down this problem for some of you all as best I possibly can. We haven't had an issue with this ever, and it's only been an issue that we've been dealing with for the last 30, 45 days. I think it has to do with an upgrade of the site that we did in our WordPress that we're using for the site. But we're going to nail it for you guys. If you guys have any issues, email me over the site and I'll walk you through some walkarounds and how we can get through it. But I appreciate all of your patience and all of your feedback that you're giving us to help troubleshoot this problem. And mostly thanks a lot for your support. My man Mike is hard at work working on his DFS content that we're going to have up for the weekend. I'm going to get off of this and I'm going to start editing it, get it uploaded, try to get it uploaded tonight, Wednesday night, give you guys a couple of days to listen to it before the weekend. But that's it, guys. That's going to do it for week three. It's hard to imagine, but with a 13-week season after this weekend, you know, we're almost a quarter of the way through the 2021 season. That's really hard for me to wrap my head around right now because Mike and I have been full go at this since like April. We've been like full speed with drafts and mock drafts and doing the preseason fantasy draft guide, getting the preseason projections done and you know, trying to, you know, corresponding back and forth with you guys. And then all of a sudden, boom, that hurricane comes. I relocate. I'm away for a couple of weeks. I'm back in. It's week three. And all of a sudden, after this Saturday, we're a third of the way through the 2021 season. I can't imagine Thanksgiving's going to be here before we know it. But look, guys, that's it. That's it. That's going to do it for the week three show. I'm on record with my record for my prediction with Anthony Richardson. I think that's going to be my biggest take from this show. Look, guys, thanks for your support. Thanks for your time. It's the week three show. My name's Joe DeSalvo, the voice of the CFF site. If you do not have any of access to the DFS content, the preseason, the player projections, rankings, get in on the site. Go ahead and find the links. Go ahead and get that. Become a member today. You can still join today and get access to all of that juicy, exclusive content that everybody else is probably whooping ass on and making money in their leagues and DFS. Get on board. Glad to have you and always appreciate the support. That's going to do it for this week, guys. We're going to see you in week four. Until next time.